Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Mike Haas, voice of the New Orleans Saints, to the bitter end last week. And I don't know, Mike, that it looked like a catch to me. He was down on the ground, and the defender knocked it out of his hands. I still don't understand this end zone rule.
Yeah.
It's beyond
me. It's a football move. Did he have – like to me, if you have possession as you cross, you know, the plane, really the best angle that – we saw, I didn't see until long after the game, which was kind of from behind Juwan, looking back at him from the end zone. It was a great play. It was a great pass. He did everything. It was just timing. I mean, the guy put his helmet. If Juwan comes down with and maneuvers the ball to his left side instead of his right, it's a touchdown. But he puts it on his right, and that's where the helmet is, just luck. And knocks it out. Everything else that the Saints did on that play was right. Spencer put it where he had to put it. Let me look at the LSU Clemson game. Like, that's a fumble? What?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a touchdown. I mean, that never even crossed my mind.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure what the rule is, but anyway, it is what it is. They're 0-1. The 1-0 San Francisco 49ers come to town, but they have a lot of injuries. I guess the final injury report's going to come out, today, 3 o'clock? We'll know for sure who's in, who's out.
Yeah, and I think it's on their end, it looks a lot worse than it is. I mean, they're going to be wrong. They're going to be without their starter, Brock Purdy, for 2 to 5 games, and then without, you know, their tight end, George Kittle. So it's not – but they've got, 10 guys, most of them playing. A lot of them were on rest. They had some guys that did not play in week one, that I'll be curious if they come back. It's just, you know, they're kind of beat up at wide receiver. They had to go sign a wide receiver. They've got an injury at running back. But here's the equalizer. Christian McCaffrey. He touched it. Yeah. He was the one that was supposed to be injured the most coming into the game. Yet he had 31 touches and 58 plays. So when he's in there, he does so many things good, and he just goes so hard. He may be one of the best decoys, because when you're in there watching him, you think, well, this play's going to him. And you think it's going to him up until the very last second when it goes to somebody else. So, yeah, the answer is yes, we'll learn a lot more Saints-wise. I mean, Fuaga, to me, is the biggest kind of question out there. I don't think Trevor Penning's going to practice today or play. Julian Blackman, they're just kind of waiting on that decision. I don't think Chase Young, with his calf, is going to practice or play. Fuaga was limited yesterday. Can he improve enough between now and really Saturday before they have to make a final designation, and they can change it, but he would be the key to, from an offensive line standpoint, to get him in there on Sunday.
What do you see as how do we line up with them? What's the biggest challenge for us?
It's their defense against the run. I mean, they're very, very stout, two great linebackers, D winners, and Frank, they are just tough. They've got a secondary that's got some youth. Stout was beat a couple of times on double moves. I mean, here's the difference. They played pretty bad last week. They were not great in the red zone. They had 2 turnovers, but they kind of found a way to win. They had a kicker that was so bad they cut him. Right. And so, but they, they had 9 penalties themselves. They had 9 penalties, a kicker they cut, 2 interceptions from Brock Purdy. and were not great in the red zone. They were 2 of 5, 40%, 1 of 3, goal to go. I mean, all those factors say on the road, you lose. But they didn't. And the Saints had some of the similar problems, penalties, problems in the red zone, problems goal to go. Didn't have any turnovers, but they lose. So, that, you know, from a matchup standpoint, you know, it's hard to say because they don't have Purdy and they don't have Kittle. They're kind of beat up at wide receiver, but Ricky Pearsall did a lot. They got a lot of guys out there, but it doesn't really matter if you're just going to throw to the same 2 or 3. If you're going to throw, you know, 10 targets to Christian McCaffrey and Pearsall with 4 catches, you don't need a whole lot else. Jake Tonges, he's the tight end. So here's a guy, he's in his third year. I never even heard of him, right? He'd never had a catch in football, in the Professional Football League in 3 years until the final drive with 3 minutes left. And in that drive, he made 3 catches, one of them being for a touchdown and the game winner. So it's timing.
This sounds almost comical.
Yeah, I mean, I have more players on their roster who I have not X'd out. They've got a guy, they've got a quarterback, so they have Purdy still on the roster. He's going to be, and Mac Jones. They've got another quarterback who's on the active non-football injury list. They've got another quarterback, Carter Bradley, who's on injured reserve, and then one more quarterback who's on the practice squad, Adrian Martinez. First year out of Kansas State, I'm like, well, I mean, he's going to be your second quarterback. They don't have anybody else unless they sign someone. So it's, you know, they've signed a tight end to their practice squad this week. They signed Eddie Pinheiro, who might not be that. I would have rather had Jake Moody, quite frankly, than Eddie Pinheiro. He does great against the Saints. So they're beat up in a bunch of different places, but. And they were pretty beat up last week in a bunch of different places. Kittle didn't play the second half. But when you got Christian McCaffrey, man, you can do a lot of things.
Well, this puts more pressure then on shutting down the run, because if you have an inexperienced quarterback playing, you really want him to throw the ball, right?
Exactly. I mean, No, you're right, exactly. Both teams want the same thing. You know, the San Francisco wants to rattle Rattler, and now the Saints want to whack Mac. You know, Mac Jones, who has just had a challenging. You know, he's in his fifth year. You needed somebody out there like a Kyle Shanahan to say, hey, who's got kind of, you know, just the feeling that I can fix this kid, because he's played in 52 games, 44 interceptions, 6 pick-sixes. In 5 years, 2 of them came to the Saints, played the Saints in 21, Malcolm Jenkins, pick 6, Tyrann Mathieu, pick 6 in 23. So you're right. Yeah. You corral this running game. They've got Brian Johnson that they picked up from Washington and Christian, which is not easy to say corral it, but then you force Mac Jones into passing situations, the exact same plan that San Francisco has for the Saints. And then you just, you know, send the world at Mac and see what he can do. Saints are going to be, you know, probably with a rookie safety and Jonas Sanker, but I'll take Spencer Rattler over Mac Jones just from the ability to move around a little bit. But, you know, the 49ers have confidence in Mac Jones, and we'll see. He just hasn't done a lot and played last year in Jacksonville, was 2 of 2 and 8. He kind of played the end of the season last year. You know, he was a first-round pick in back with New England, you know, the 15th overall. I thought that was kind of a stretch. And he had a pretty good rookie year, but it's been a struggle ever since.
This is also one of those games that folks have kind of said, you know, I think the Saints are not favored in any game this year, if my memory serves me correct.
Yep.
But this is one of the games that people have chalked in to say, if we got to win one of these in a couple in the first four, this is probably one of them. And even more so now with the injuries.
Right. I think if, you know, when the early lines came out of the season, you know, it was Brock Purdy coming in, and it was, you know, Brock Purdy and George Kittle and, you know, McCaffrey and everybody, and, you know, but they don't really have everybody. So you're right. You gotta figure out a way. It was my thought. You gotta win one of your first two of your first four somehow. Now they gotta go to Seattle next week and then Buffalo. But as you probably have said and will hear over the next 3 days, you know, there's a lot about when you play a team. So Purdy's going to miss 2-5. He has Atlanta and Tampa in weeks 6 and 7. So we need him to be out and then come back to play as soon as he can. Be out this week and then come back as soon as he can.
Man, you've been working hard. You got this whole thing mapped out already.
Oh, yeah. No, this part's easy. Playing the game's the hard part. Anybody can do some mapping out.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, so this is going to be a big test for this team, obviously, and it's a must win for them. You know, if you want to say that this early in the season, because you never know what's going to happen, right?
Right, you don't. But you don't want to start out 0-2 when you have to go to Seattle and Buffalo the week after that. So yeah, they're going to have to, and you want to get. I mean. You want to get Spencer a W, right? That storyline is already way old, and he's done some things right. He did a lot of things where the goal was, it felt like last week, just don't do things wrong. No picks, only had one sack, was smart, got rid of the ball, fairly conservative, it felt, offensively. So, you know, I feel like you're going to have to let it fly a little more, be a little more – you know, I hate to use, because I'm putting words in Kellen Moore's mouth that they were conservative, but it felt like they were, because you need this one way bad now, way bad. You cannot have Mac Jones come into your building and have them, you know, because they're beat up in a lot of different places, and have them walk out with a victory.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I watched Rattler close. I was at the game last weekend. What I like about him is he's got touch on the ball, right? I mean, he's got a strong arm, but he does have touch, because there were a lot of those passes, like the one to Juwan Johnson. I mean, there was no other place for that ball to be than yeah. where it was.
That's what he's worked on really the most, because it was never a strength. That's like every rookie. Right, you got to learn when to throw a bullet, when to throw, you know, a fade, when to throw, put something on it, when to take something off. What you don't want, and we could have said this 3 weeks ago, if I'd have said, hey, guess what? In week one, Spencer Rattler is going to throw it 46 times. No. Well, that's not going to end well. Quite frankly, pretty, fortuitous to be in that last drive. That's not this team's plan. You've got to run the ball better with Alvin and Bayless and Kendre, and they showed signs of it, but then you got down two scores. And in that two-score game, that might not be a lot in some games, but a two-score deficit for the Saints. And quite frankly, I kind of feel Spencer likes the tempo offense. I feel like he kind of gets into a better rhythm, moving, just getting to the line of scrimmage and going like that. And didn't do it early, but once they did do it, you can't throw it 46 times. You'd have to run the ball better, and hopefully that means Fuaga is there. But other than that, he made the right decisions. Threw it away when he didn't, you know, have anything, didn't take the sack, only had the one, didn't throw the pick, and try to connect. You know, they had these long drives that go down there. They had it first and goal at the 3. Get a field goal and get in the red zone. Blake Groupie misses a chip shot, man, you cannot do that. You can't have long drives that eat up clock. You get into the red zone or goal to go and don't come away with touchdowns. Touchdowns is the name of the game.
Yeah, and it was a shame. I agree with you, though, about Spencer. It seems to me, you know, what little I know, but, I mean, I, just watching when the tempo was going much faster, it was more his instinct than really thinking about it, right? I agree with you. It looked like he found comfort in that pace.
Yeah, I think the two times that we've really seen him play well prior to this game was the second half against Washington when he replaced Jake. They were down, and he was just, you know, boom, 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 moving the ball. It was a sense of urgency. And the other time was the first half against Tampa at the end of the season in Tampa, where they just bang, bang, short passes, out patterns to the tight end, 5 yards, 6 yards. Just take what they give you and move the ball that way. He had a great first half, couldn't continue with the second half, but those are the two times when we've seen Spencer at his best and also the Raider game. But when you get down there, you got to get seven. You got to, whether it's the high red zone, 30 and in, take a shot at the end zone, because this team has struggled in the red zone and you can't afford to do it.
You feel a win?
Of course, I always feel a win on Friday when I'm talking to you. Always. And I feel a win today at 4 o'clock when Deuce and I are at the Rouse's on Power Boulevard. I feel a win until the final second kicked off the clock Sunday against Arizona. This is how I am.
Man, I thought Juwan had that catch. I thought it was a touchdown. I was like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. It's great.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, but it was fun nonetheless. And it was great to see that they were still competitive to the bitter end, right?
Yep. Yep, I agree. But now that's good feeling for competitiveness and to the bitter end, you get one of those. Now, yep. W.
Got to win it. Well, we'll be listening on Sunday. Have a great game. Mike Haas, voice of the New Orleans Saints. We'll check in with you next week.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Have a good weekend.
You too. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.